The devotion for today is based on the Gospel from Matthew 2, and especially these words. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Well, it's all very mysterious, isn't it? I mean, we can start with the obvious. Who are the Magi? Well, speculation is all over the place. They could have been priests. They could have been dream interpreters. They could have been astrologers. They could have been a lot of different things. The term for Magi can even mean something as negative as a quack, a seducer, or a deceiver. But there's certainly nothing in the text that would lead us to think anything negative about them. Where'd they come from? Well, again, speculation is all over the place. They could have come from Arabia, from Persia, from Media, from Babylon, from Parthia. Basically, these are all places that are east of the Syrian or Arabian desert. But perhaps we can make this a little simpler. They came from, let's see, north is this way, that way. And they were very smart, very educated, and likely upper class. And Herod treated them as such. Herod greeted them at the palace. Now, normally, Herod's a puppet king of the Roman Empire. And he took great pleasure in bullying and pushing around people beneath him. But Herod knew these were people that he could not bully. These weren't just some astronomy geeks following their latest fancy after looking at the stars. Right after the Magi arrived, they received an immediate invite to the palace. They were honored as out-of-town guests. Maybe the contemporary equivalent would be treated as special foreign dignitaries. Herod asks them what they're doing. But before they even get to Herod, you know, it's kind of comical. I can kind of imagine the Jews scratching their heads, wondering what these out-of-town honored, out-of-town guests are doing. I mean, I can imagine myself as a Jew walking up to one of the Magi and saying, you worship the Messiah? And I can imagine the Magi saying, doesn't everybody? I mean, you are Israelites, aren't you? This is Israel, isn't it? You do worship the Messiah, don't you? So where is he? The Jews really don't know what to think, and they don't know what to say. So Herod inserts himself into the scene. Herod. He's a political schemer. He's a murderer of members of his own family to ensure that his own kingdom or kingship continues. An ally of the enemy, at least from a Jewish perspective. Herod inserts himself into the scene, and the Magi use a word that sends up a red flag in Herod's mind. King. Herod thinks he has a rival. Herod thinks he has another person he needs to kill to continue his own kingship. After Herod hears the word king, the only thing he can hear after that is his own murderous thoughts of who he needs to kill. Killing anyone being heralded, sought after, or worshipped as a king. But the Magi aren't with him on that. They aren't thinking of a king in that way. I want you to hone in with me on this stunning statement of the Magi. They say, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Did you catch it? They're saying, we have come to worship the King of the Jews. The King of the Jews. The Magi aren't Jews. Jews are anyone who are descended from Jacob, who lived about 2,000 years ago, whom God renamed Israel. But did you notice the way Matthew tells the story when you heard the gospel? One detail after another in the account shows that this baby Jesus is, this toddler Jesus, excuse me, is the Magi's Jesus. This Messiah is the Magi's Messiah. This king is their king. Look at the details that shout this. The Magi say, where is, literally translated, the born king? They also say, we have come to worship him. Later on in the story, Matthew says, on coming to the house, they bowed down and worshiped him. And lastly, we hear, God warned them in a dream. But Matthew wants to give you a dead giveaway that this isn't just a story about Jesus as the king of the Jews according to blood. This is a story of Jesus as king according to faith. His dead giveaway is his Old Testament quote. It's from the book of Micah, from Micah 5:2. And the end of it kind of summarizes verses 3 and 4 of Micah chapter 5. So I want to go back and I want to read those other two verses, verses 3 and 4. Micah says, therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He, the Messiah, will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Well, who's the flock? Let's keep reading. Who's they? Let's see. They will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. That's not just the Jews. There's no restrictions in the phrase to the ends of the earth. That's everyone. That's God's plan from the very beginning. Everyone. To whom did the Old Testament prophets preach to? Everyone. Among whom were the Old Testament people scattered when Israel was conquered? First the northern kingdom, then the southern kingdom. Everyone. Among whom did the Apostle Paul find pocket after pocket of Jews? Everyone. Among whom did these Jewish Christians spread their beautiful light of faith when they became believers, learning the truth about Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem? Everyone. Please do not mistake God's specificness for exclusion. Do not mistake God's specific plan rooted among a specific people fulfilling specific Old Testament laws. Do not mistake God's specificity for exclusivity. For the gospel to reach the ends of the earth, the reason we celebrate this day called Epiphany, this was God's plan from the very beginning. The books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, some of the first books of the Bible, say this to the Israelites. Moses was inspired to write this: you are to have the same law for the alien and the native born. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy says you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. I find it very ironic that the only gospel that has the account of the Magi is Matthew's gospel. The gospel that was written primarily to Jews. The gospel that contains the most Old Testament scriptures of any of the other gospels. To these Jewish people, his Jewish audience, Matthew is telling this fantastic account to show just exactly who Israel is. Israel reaches to the ends of the earth. Israel is defined by faith. Israel is defined by the ability of their good shepherd to gather people from the furthest reaches of the globe to know and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But now, in an account that has so much mystery to it, we still have the mystery of the star. I mean, how did it work? How in the world did the Magi look up at a star and know that it was the dead giveaway that the Messiah had been born? How did it work that the star led the Magi to Israel, disappeared, at least it seems like that, and then suddenly reappeared over the house of Jesus? Well, I really don't know. I wish I did, but I don't. But I can pretty confidently tell you this. When the Magi saw that bright, shining star, they knew beyond any doubt that God's promises had been fulfilled. When the Magi looked at that bright, shining star, they knew to follow it wherever it led them. When the Magi looked at that star, their God-given faith was set on fire with the deep desire to go and worship their Savior God. So what's your star? What do you look at and know beyond any belief that all of God's promises to you are fulfilled? What's your star? What do you look at and you know to follow it wherever it leads you, even through the suffering that is its very essence? What's your star that you look at and you can't help but fall down and worship and thank God that He reaches to the farthest reaches of the earth to bring to Himself, to seek and to search out one more, always one more until Jesus comes again, always wanting one more. No one too far away. No one too distant. No one beyond the rule of a king for all Israel. Amen.